Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show, episode 32. I'm just going to call this Rainy Night, because it's a rainy night here in California. We are four dads with 12 kids between us. We're not experts, but we listen to them, we react to them, and we share what we've learned. There's a little pop culture, a lot of parenting, a lot of laughter, and a lot of experience. Use the other 23 hours to do life, but for the next 48 plus minutes, put the ears on and come hang out with us. It's a place to put your feet up or down if you're exercising or driving or food shopping or anything like that. Like, subscribe, and leave a review. That would be a great deal in the algorithms of life. We are the Dad Timeout Show. Tonight we'll be talking March Madness, mascots, social distancing brackets, and also I'm very excited to be talking about our smart articles by smart people, and the two titles we'll be looking through tonight are Trying to Stop Raise Successful Kids and Raise Kind Ones. Are you kind?
Yes.
Okay. And the other one we're going to be looking over is I Raised Two Successful CEOs and I'm a Doctor. Here's one of the biggest mistakes I see parents making. So we're going to discuss that when the guys come around the corner in just a second, but we're also going to get to parent tweets. We've got a bracketology about social distancing, and then we're going to be doing things that make us smile. Speaking of things that make us smile, I have a very special guest out here on the Distance Patio Studios tonight. What's your name, ma'am?
Lola.
Oh, hello, Lola. How are you doing tonight?
Good.
You're doing good. Okay, so really quickly, before the guys come in, you had a very big day yesterday. You want to tell me what you set up in the living room and what the outcome was? Yesterday was St. Patrick's Day as we record this. What did you set up in the living room?
A leprechaun trap.
You set up a leprechaun trap, and how was it? Was it successful, or did we miss him?
We missed him.
We missed him. Did he leave anything behind?
He left chocolate coins, t-shirts, socks, and he was like the St. Patrick's Day miracle.
St. Patrick's Day miracle. I like ending on a miracle. Speaking of miracles, we always start a segment with a dad joke, but tonight it's a kid joke. What's your joke?
What's a bow you cannot tie?
What's a bow you cannot tie? I do not know. What is a bow you cannot tie, Miss Lola?
A rainbow.
A rainbow? Whoa! Give yourself a nice round of applause. That is a great way to start the show. Speaking of that, you guys all know it's podcast pizza night. So I'll let you go inside. The guys are coming up around the corner. Coming up next, Dad Timeout Show, episode 32. We love a rainy night.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled, dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world, welcome back to the Dad Timeout Show. Hello.
Boys and girls.
Should boys we clink?
We're going to clink our ceramic cups here that your wife made as a hot toddy on a rainy night.
Hot, yeah.
Hot toddies.
Oh, we can't reach each other.
We can't reach each other because we're still socially distanced out here.
It was a Zoom clink.
I called the episode I Love a Rainy Night. Why did I do that?
Because Eddie Rabbit.
Because it is Eddie Rabbit.
Well, I love a rainy night.
I love nice. A rainy night.
That's the only words
it
I
did
know.
Sound nice.
But yes. Then I got intrigued. I started looking up rain songs.
Standing in the rain.
Is that Orange Juice Jones?
I don't know, man.
Or hard to hold a candle in the cold November rain.
Oh, yeah.
Elton John. Axel, dude. What
or let's go
say?
To the. Let's go
you
to
just
the.
You said Elton John.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking Guns Candle Roses. In the Wind. He I'm
thought,
sorry.
You thought Guns N' Roses was Elton John.
At first, I thought it was Milli Vanilli.
Go ahead.
Isn't that. Was that Milli Vanilli?
No, it's not Milli Vanilli, however. Blame it on the rain.
See, I brought it
falling,
back.
Falling. I want to know, have you ever seen the rain?
Oh, man. man.
So many people have just shut us off.
Yep. All right, that's it.
All right, that's it. Great episode.
Thank you, guys.
Cheers, guys. Purple Rain.
Oh, damn. No.
Purple.
How do we bring it back?
Nicest.
I saw Prince's second to last concert right across the street at Oracle Arena.
Yeah.
True story. How was your week? Everybody have a good week? St. Patrick's Day was yesterday. How did you do it with your kids? Do you do it with your kids?
I ended up in a bar subconsciously. Like, I didn't even know.
Good, because they're sort of open out here in California, but you just roll the dice, went to a bar.
Yeah, I went to, I was like, let's go, for something in my brain is like, let's go to this dirty, sticky bar called McGee's, and I didn't even know it was St. Patrick's Day.
What?
I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Wow. Four beers later, I did know.
But you did, right?
We knew because we were building a leprechaun trap like 2 weeks ago all the way into the... It's a wow. big deal. Yeah, our youngest has always really been into trying to catch the leprechaun. So
that's amazing.
And her classmates, but they all built their little versions of leprechaun traps. They used to try and catch him in the classroom. Oh, and yeah, then he would come in at night, or she, and tear up the classroom in the morning, and they couldn't catch him. But yeah, it was a highlight. And then my wife gets into it, and we're not even, we're maybe one hair of an Irish. Maybe, like, there might be, like, some distant
Everybody
second.
Everybody in America is a little bit
of I think I'm did it.
I thoroughly enjoy it. I enjoy the holiday. I enjoy the Irish. I enjoy corned beef. Irish. I enjoyed cabbage. Last Jen had the, we brought out the old school, like, ugly yellow crock pot that we used to have. We still have it. And we did corned beef. We did cabbage.
We did
carrots. We did the whole kit and caboodle. So St. Patrick's Day was fun. I'm glad we're through. Now we're on the countdown to the Easter Bunny's arrival. So that's what's happening here. Wow. We got a good show tonight. We're going to talk. I love our smart articles by smart people. I've found two, and there were like seven written about this. But it's a lot to your point, Ben, when you were talking about helpers a few episodes ago, and we were talking about the therapy of going to help people. Right. And being part of your community, and how that's oftentimes for kids, it's a great thing to do in the holistic sense, even at age 4, 7, 10. So that's our two articles tonight. One's called I Raised Two Successful CEOs and a Doctor. Here's one of the biggest mistakes I see parents make. And the other one's called Stop trying to raise successful kids and start raising kind ones. So those were fun to dive into. I always, now that we're getting smart, sort of, I'm really, we talked about this before the show, I'm really starting to enjoy applying a lot of the knowledge that we're acquiring to, and seeing if it's applicable to our families.
Sure.
And I am very flashy. Like, I may do something for 2 weeks and then forget about it and go back to yelling. Like, 2 weeks ago, though, I was on my knees, like, talking eye to eye. Like, are you sure you don't want to clean your room? Because I think it might be a great idea. Now it's like, get in there until that sparkle is up off the floor. No, I don't do that. But
glory fades.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about March Madness. That's coming down. I guess that's kind of all month, so we can tap on that in our next episode.
All right.
It's going to be different, but it's going to be interesting. And we'll go through tweets of the week, things that make us smile, and all the good stuff. But welcome in on this rainy night.
Yeah, right.
Blame it on the rain. falling. Yeah. Coming up next, parent tweets of the week.
Time now for the tweets of the week.
All right, before we get into tweets of the week this week, I did neglect the shout outs because I always like to shout people out.
Is it because we sung five songs about rain?
No.
Rain songs threw me out, but yeah. I do like to give shout outs to either new followers that we've been following for a long time, new listeners, new subscribers, or people that we're having just cool conversations with out there in the big world. At Cool Mom Picks. They have one of my favorite podcasts called Spawned, and that's a great one to follow on Instagram as well, at Cool Mom Picks. At Dearest Scooter was kind enough to give us a nice advice hour, I'll call it.
Sleep With Me Podcast.
Right? Yeah, Sleep With Me Podcast, an amazing podcast. So check out Sleep With Me Podcast, at Dearest Scooter. At Turf and Surf, there are underscores in there, but I'll put it right on Instagram. This guy... don't ask how I found these stuff. He makes yard patterns with his lawnmower.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
And different ones every time he mows his lawn. And the fun part is kids are really into it. And he's in Brisbane Gold Coast, Australia.
Big lawn.
You got to have that big lawn.
It is, but it's mesmerizing, and it's a rabbit hole. I found like 30 minutes later, I'm like, I'm like 400 deep on this guy's yard. Oh, wow. So at Turf and Surf, he's on Instagram. At The Rock Father, James Zahn, super cool guy. I didn't meet him at Dad 2.0 Summit, but I saw him. He always has a crowd around him. He's an expert, toy and pop culture expert, but he's always on the news, and he's a writer, and he's just a really big personality. He's a lot of fun. At The Hidden Snack Mama, at Good Dad Movement, at Two Dads and a Coffee Machine. Very clever name. I like that. And they are adoptive dads, and they are two guys out of Wales. So, boom, there's our international mix of the week. And at Dr. Michelle Borba, we have a doctor following us, which is very exciting.
No.
Yes.
Now I'm nervous.
They need to laugh, too.
I need to stop making stuff up.
Clean up our act.
And at 30 Seconds Mom, I always like to talk about those folks because I just had an article published on their website, so that was kind of fun. All right, our Tweets of the Week are coming up right here, and some of our favorites are in here. These topics are wide and varied, but I feel they're all sort of relatable to our lives. There's no theme, as usual. It's whatever makes us laugh or makes me laugh at 1 in the morning when I'm in the barn writing this stuff. This is from our buddy at Henpecked Hal. He says, the daily struggle of folding laundry and holding up an item trying to figure out if it belongs to my 3-year-old, my 4-year-old, or my wife.
Yes. Lord. I'm there. Yeah, I'm there.
Me too.
I'm looking at my 11-year-old and my wife. Same size.
Do they mix?
Wow, really?
They're the same size, shirt and shoes.
Wait, yeah, you're 11-year-old and your wife?
11-year-old and my wife, yeah. Well,
Do you fold laundry?
Oh, I fold, my friend. Yeah. I fold every day.
My youngest is, both of them are the same size. They all wear the same size clothes now. Actually, my oldest is like gigantor. She's like, continues to grow. Yeah.
My
second tallest.
Mine are pretty distinct. So it's a 6, a 10, a 13. The 13's now getting nervous about me doing her laundry.
Yeah.
In a good way.
The funny way.
Yeah. Yeah, the teenager laundry.
I got it.
But my pet peeve is when I have to sort multi people in the same batch.
I hate it.
Oh. Because they each have hampers in their room. If they bring their hamper down at the right time, they get their stuff done. It's folded nicely. And I just say, return it to your area.
Wow.
We're moving towards a basket for each kid. And it's just like that chore. Trash night. Must be trash night for the neighbors.
We keep it real out here. We've got rain. We've got trash. We've got it all going on.
Moving towards a basket per kid. And then that's because it's driving us nuts. But yeah, anyway, new system. We change the system every couple months.
I don't mind folding laundry, but I hate sorting closely.
You know,
is it hers? Is it his stuff?
Well, we know that our wives don't listen to this, so I can say this. Like, she's like, I washed it all. I'm like, babe, the folding and the putting away is what takes all the time. Because, right, it doesn't take any time to wash it.
Yeah, the washing is no big deal. I'm That's like, easy.
Sorry, lover.
Throw it in a machine. You push a button. Throw in one of those gel pods.
I'm on the gel pods.
Ba-bam.
Push
two buttons.
It's the folding and putting away.
I did the wash.
I mean, I'm not the smartest man in the world, but you can't fool me with that. Anyway,
Our latest battle... The latest battle of the sexes in my house is that I love product, and I know it's bad. My wife likes scent-free.
Yeah, my wife too.
Natural. She would wash stuff with just plain wool tree soap.
Throw some Downy up in there.
I'm all about Snuggles.
Some Gain. Come on.
Downy.
I'm gonna drop a product thing that whatever you do. What is it called? A plug? Drops. Yeah. Drops. There are these little things. They're called drops. I'm dropping them for drops. There are these all natural biodegradable blah blahs, and you just throw one in, and they're super
what are
cheap.
Talking about,
but do they cheap. Smell nice? Like,
delicious.
That's
interesting.
You're putting drops in your wash.
It's called it's a little pod, man. It's a little gel pod. Get off me.
Gel pod. All right. Whatever, man.
All right. Can you believe Tide Pods was a thing a couple years ago? Idiots. Chemicals, man. Idiots.
Chemicals.
I feel like Napoleon Dynamite. Idiots.
Oh, that's a rewatch.
At Unfiltered Mama comes in.
She's fun.
She's always great. I'll do a lot of things to make my children happy, but intentionally losing a game of Connect Four is not one of them. How do you ever throw a game?
No way, no, man. No.
Yeah, I'm pretty hard knocks. I'm pretty brutal.
Hard knocks, dude.
I'm like dunking on them with the video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you?
Oh, take that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my little brother. Come well, I, my little brother's 7 years younger, and I just vowed to never let him win anything. And he's tough now. 7 years younger, you know, like I just beat up on him until he was a man.
We're not talking about your brother, though. Well, we're talking about your children.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No, no, it's the same idea. Like, with that, I learned from, like, trying to, like, kind of raise him 7 years older. That's a big difference. And I'm like, he really is good at stuff because I didn't, you know, pamper him. And so I think it's the same idea.
My 10 and I, this came right to mind. We went at it over New Year's with checkers.
Yeah. All right.
And he would get incredibly frustrated and angry. And I wouldn't smirk. Like, I'll talk smack on a basketball court, but I don't talk much smack around the game boards.
Yeah.
But checkers was getting funny. And I thought, like, do I? Then I'd let him jump one, and I'd see where he could move. I'm like, he could figure this out, but if he doesn't, I'm going to pound it right now. And I ended up pounding it. But to your point, I think that he became a smarter.
Did he beat you legit?
No, he hadn't gotten me yet. They've gotten me in some games. They've gotten me. Sequins. They always beat me in sequins somehow.
I wasn't going to admit
I'm really terrible at sequins.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah. I wasn't going to admit this, but my 8 legit took me down about 2 weeks ago in checkers.
Ooh.
Legit. I just told you I don't take it easy, and I was like, oh, my gosh.
She got you.
Super sharp, though. She's like, I was just, maybe I wasn't paying attention. Maybe I was, but I started paying attention about halfway through.
I think it depends on the level of the game. Like, I won't go, if I'm doing Candyland with my 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might let her take the slide
right,
if she didn't really land on the slide. Oh, like, I'm not going to crush her there and throw the board across the room.
No.
You guys are brutal.
No, we're super competitive. Both my daughters would totally call. Yeah. Are you sure you win 3? 1, 2, see, you're not on a, you know, like, there's legit fights and stuff like that. So we're super competitive. Like,
I have gotten to the point where it does, it's sad, but it does feel good to be the king of a certain game or two.
Yeah.
And, like, they know when it comes out on the table, their challenge is to defeat me.
And right, when they do,
you're the boss.
They will. The boss. And they are. They are tagging me here and there in certain games.
It'll be a real moment, yeah.
They crushed me in Monopoly. I never really loved, but they crushed me in Monopoly the other week. All right, that was Unfiltered Mama. Thank you. Connect Four. That's a jam, too, because you can totally pull the board
pull the
and make
board,
all the checkers
man.
Fall.
Eat it.
Ben, to this is your point, and Chris brought it up as well a couple weeks ago, but here it is in black and white on Twitter, so it is real. At Father with Twins, I think Robert Knopp. The key to happiness is simple. Buy snacks that no one in your family will like.
Yeah, man.
Huh.
Right. Easy, right?
Yeah, there's a few things.
Just corner them, yeah.
Super spicy beef jerky. Like, that's all me. Yeah, like, I get the extra spicy, and they're like, Dad, and I'm like, mine, you know.
So I don't eat meat, really, so I buy a lot of vegetarian stuff.
What, really?
And I just know it's all mine, because nobody in the house will eat it but me.
Wow.
And I know that sounds goofy, but it's this little private section of the freezer that's all mine.
You've got all these veggie burgers and stuff.
I'll stash things around that, or if I really have to go to next nomad level, I go out to the garage and I'll place
it. Another freezer?
Yeah, I'll place it in the corner.
Is there a microwave back there?
Out there, because they will just go.
Well, having an extra freezer, well, that's another subject, but yeah. I was just going to say that'll change your life as far as like buying in bulk if you're trying to save money.
Yeah, when you take down that deer, you can just throw the whole thing
exactly.
in there.
Exactly.
Yeah, with your archery. We haven't unpacked your archery in your backyard
yet
either.
It's becoming a little bit of a problem. Yeah.
For listeners who aren't aware, Ben now practices archery in a very small backyard in a crowded city in California. But we'll leave that for another podcast. On that snack note, at Unfiltered Mama, just found the secret snack drawer in my daughter's room where she apparently been hiding all the good snacks from her older brother. And all I can say is I'm totally impressed. And I'm also putting her in charge of our family disaster preparedness plan.
Never find it.
Do you ever? I clean... My oldest is a champ. Like, she has a whole drawer, and I don't go through things. I respect, especially now that she's in teens, I respect the privacy. Mm. But I will, like, clean her room when she'll go out to a practice or something, because I know that's the only time I can get at it.
Weird wrappers everywhere.
And yeah, I was like, oh, it's that under the carpet? You see Smarties wrappers, and you're like, how did she get Smarties? And then you're like, dude, wait a minute. Dun, dun, and then you open the drawer, and it's like, there's a candy store in there.
Oh yeah,
because they hoard, like they get they do their birthday takeaway packs. They do their keep their Halloween.
You don't have it?
I don't know. I've been banished.
Like,
I don't
we have
go
a
in
candy
there.
Section in our kitchen that's high up on the shelf. It's a
they
it's
can
a
reach
treat.
It now, MK. They can reach it. Yeah.
They can reach it.
Yeah.
But they know if they're seen in that turf. We know, right? But yeah. But when I went in and saw these little thieves,
oh dude.
In the boys' room, too. He was just as bad.
Yeah. I'll tell you a quick story. Great one. My eight, I guess this is a year ago. So she's a she's sugar hound, right? And I saw her kind of digging around and said, candy shelf, right? But and it was a bag of marshmallows. So I'm like, well, I went the other way. I flanked her. I went the other way. And she was looking over her shoulder. And I come around, and she was looking over her shoulder with a handful of marshmallows. Boom, right into me. Like, looking over her shoulder, looking at me.
Oh, wow.
And she runs at me and throws
them. You did the pincer technique.
Yeah, and the pincer technique. So I went, so where were you going with marshmallows? And so we dig in her bed, and she had a sticky ball of marshmallows.
What? Like, just marshmallows?
Yeah, all squirreled away underneath her leg.
From before?
Dude, it's who knows how long the marshmallow what? Ball has
are you
been
not
forming.
Allowing them to eat the marshmallows? Why
no,
does she have
dude,
to squirrel
she,
them
she
away?
She was squirreling them in her bed.
Why?
So parents, just check the bed. Like, it's so... It
what
was,
are you
it was
about?
The funniest, grossest
really?
Thing I've ever seen.
Wow.
I tried not to laugh. Ball. I tried so hard not to laugh, but dude, it was... Oh, dude. No, she'd been sticking those buggers together for months. And,
interesting.
Yeah, check the bed.
Yeah, yeah. Now I'm ruining the next time I have to clean their rooms. All right, final tweet, same vein, but this will end it. At Mama Out of Order, she has a very good point. I think taco trucks should consider cruising the neighborhood like ice cream trucks.
Oh, my gosh. Please. Yeah. Why doesn't someone
in
do
tandem,
that?
Or just
why
do
don't the food trucks do that?
Why are
why
they,
don't they
in
move?
Trucks? You know what I'm saying?
Maybe it's kind of hard to, you know, make a taco while you're rolling.
Oh, my gosh. I guess they have plenty of business, usually. Like,
yeah,
if they were
to
drive
come to
off.
Me. Come to me. Yeah.
Come to me. People will come to them. I guess that's the thing. But I think that's maybe we should do that, huh? Like,
that's a great idea,
dude,
Chris.
If we were to
we
drive
need,
something
I would
to
do
place
have you ever seen the movie Chef?
John yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do they
that's
drive
my dream.
Around, though? They stop so, somewhere, right?
They I know it's hard work.
Like,
I get it, but
you know, like, what would it be like? You know, different music, and then have people chase you
did
down
do
the street.
What if you did PB&Js and hot dogs and like kids' food?
Mm. I don't know if people would chase after you. People would think that you were selling ice cream. Like, you know,
I don't think anything is like the ice cream truck.
Yeah.
All right. Very rich topic. Very little time. All right. Coming up next: smart articles by smart people. Two good ones.
Smart articles by smart people.
All right, it's time for smart articles by smart people. We have two tonight, actually. Because, you know, like I say, once I open Pandora's box on a lot of these topics, it just starts going further and further and further. We'll try and keep it semi-brief because I like to discuss these things and see how our family, if it's applicable, if we've been doing them, are we doing it right? Are we doing it wrong according to experts? But the titles of these two, I've already read them a couple of times, so I won't do it again. But here I go. Stop trying to raise successful kids and start raising kind ones. This one was from The Atlantic, and it's by Adam Grant and Allison Sweet Grant. I'm going to assume husband and wife. But it's basically, Ben, to your point, and we discussed this a couple weeks ago, it was talking about community and kids and kind of deprioritizing some stuff and prioritizing other stuff, especially in the community and giving aspects. What do you have to say about that to elongate your point from a couple weeks ago?
Well, this is the first article that I've ever read all the way through.
Both of them?
Wow.
I only read one of them.
That's okay.
He's got to start somewhere.
Long,
okay.
Man, The Atlantic.
So I liked it because it definitely resonated. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not trying to toot my horn, but yeah, I mean, I do think that our, like, something my wife and I really focus on is the balance of academic and character. And so the takeaway for me was when they said, and I do it too. The questions you ask your kid after school is, you know, like, How was your day? How did you do on the test? Like, how did that go? And it's all accomplishment-based. And I'm like, wow, I do that too. And maybe it's just because I want to glean their day and figure out how their day went. But way better questions are, did you help anybody? Did you, was there anybody sad that you comforted?
Right.
Like, that is much better questions to ask a kid. And they're like, huh. And then the article said, yeah, like, they didn't really know. But then a couple weeks later, they started having answers at the dinner table, which was super cool because you kind of ingrained that. And it felt good for me because I tried to think about, what do I want to tell my kids when I say goodbye? So every day, since they were in kindergarten, I grab their little squishy face and I look in their eyes and I say, be kind, be strong. Those are the two things I want them to be at school. Mm. Kind and strong. Don't take any crap from anybody and be kind. So and that was kind of two of the points of the article. So I would encourage you to, you know, just say those two things to your kid if you're dropping them off and getting that. I think when they grow up, that's one of the things that they'll remember because it's simple. And that they'll hopefully tell their kids, be kind, be strong.
No, I agree with that 100%. I used to struggle, and I would read, you know, when I was a younger, when my children were younger, because I had read articles to that effect, of different things to ask them every day, and not basing it on how was school, how was math, did you get right. that test, did fine, you do this, did fine. You do that. It's more of the empathetic questions right. that, you know, kind of landed, and it inspired more of a conversation as well. You know, and then sometimes, you know, just to back off in general, but yeah, well, both articles were really good. We'll put the links up. And I know that the second one, a lot of people were talking about when it came out, and it's by Esther Wozicki. I hope I'm saying that right. And she was, she raised three children, and one daughter is the CEO of YouTube.
Yeah.
The other one's a professor of pediatrics, and the other one's the co-founder of 23andMe.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And she says the basic same thing. She's like, she didn't strive for that constant academic excellence and reward systems around report cards. This landed very timely because report cards just landed in our house last night. So my kids all got the benefit of these articles and me reading them prior to me talking to them about their report cards. But, you know, she says basically a lot of the same things is teaching your kids to care, the importance of community as they grow up, and Ben, you'll appreciate this in a way because you have a strong European background. The American idea is all wrong. Kids are growing up feeling like they're the center of the universe. And as young adults, they're not only lacking grit and independence, they're wholly unprepared to take on causes that could make the world a better place. Mm-hmm. And to this lady's point, and I'm going to read her book. I really got tweaked by this. So I'm going to read the whole thing and maybe report back. Because I've met a lot of unhappy millionaires as well. People that have it all have gotten to the place or the thing or the field,
yeah,
and they're just as unhappy because sure. that's what their plateau is, and what else is there to fall back on? So her quote is, I've met lots of unhappy millionaires and even some unhappy billionaires. A lot of them probably started out as directionless kids. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, I get the reality of that statement. Like,
seems more socioeconomic than American, I'd say, but yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Like successful. But I think about, you know, particularly the pressures of, you know, Japan puts on like academics. That's
yeah. A lot of it's culture, than ours, right?
Yeah.
Like for me, I think that I was super pressured, right, to perform and to succeed. And grades were like, well, you know, live and die by grades.
Is your dad?
Oh, my dad was born in Asia, in Korea. Right. So, like, Korea. You know, they were just like doing all martial arts and stuff. So, like, when you get in trouble, like, pull out the black belt and, you know, sidekick your, you know, anyway. But, like, that culture of success and what makes success and sort of being that tiger dad, helicopter dad, like, over obsessed and pushing for grit and all of those things, it's kind of like you definitely lose sight of. Like the takeaway for me was more about the second article, which talked about don't be a hypocrite, right? Like you're sitting there, our family rule, number one family rule is like be considerate, right? Think of others before yourself, be kind. But we never talk about that. Like I'm, you know, the dinner conversation and the sort of our whole lives revolve around tournaments and winning and, you know, college and grades and keeping up all of this sort of like superficial level of success. And it's never really about those other things about community or being considerate and kind. And so, you know, tonight was the first time, you know, after reading the article for homework, you know, I, you know, at dinner time, we were kind of talking about that and really trying to reinforce that, hey, that that is more important than, you know, all of these things that like, it seems like all I care about, and that's really not the case, right? No. I really do want to have them be successful. I want them to be considerate. I want them to have empathy and be able to, like, be, you know, contributing members of society and everything.
Be good at stuff, but, you, like, also, like, now I remember the article said they see what we do way more than what we say.
Right.
And it's true. Like, you know, did you stop and help that person on the street that needed it? Like, they will remember that. They will not remember that you say you should have stopped and helped that person.
Yeah, it's your actions.
And that's really what they're learning. 80% of everything they become, this is some stat I read somewhere, you know, comes from us. And, you know, only 20% from all other aspects of their life.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, to lean into what they're saying, too, the article from the Atlantic, kids learn what's important to adults by not listening to what we say, but by noticing what gets our attention.
Right. Yeah.
As in many developed societies, parents now pay more attention to individual achievement and happiness than anything else. You know, and part of that comes with the narcissism of social media and parental narcissism on social media.
Sure.
And stopping to take that picture at that place because you're there and not FOMO. Picking up the litter around. I mean, there's definitely a balance of trying to strive to for your children to exceed beyond so they're comfortable and happy. And I think these things delve more into what creates overall happiness versus the structure and the 4-year, the 2 additional year, the job, the second job. You know what I mean?
Well, you tend to lose sight of the happiness part because that chasing those things is such a big part of life. And so you kind of have to stop and recalibrate and look at that and say like, oh, you know, that being kind and being happy is a priority. And I think that one thing also that the article said was that you don't have to sacrifice kindness to take pride in accomplishments. So you could still do both. You could still celebrate those accomplishments and have joy around like success, but also emphasize and prioritize, and also by action, like show that, hey, you know, that it's not just about like these accomplishments, but it's really about sort of your character and what you're doing towards the community and being empathetic towards others.
How do you think you're both doing as dads in this arena?
Well, I am a failure like by nature, but like I would be remiss. I know we don't try not to get too theological, but we're biblical values, man. Like the man, he told
morals based value system.
Jesus,
yeah,
like that's where I'm at, you know. And the guy didn't have anything bad to say. He was broke, and he was a servant and pure servant. So those are that's where we're at. I don't think it all comes from church. It comes from us actually checking out who this guy was. And that's basically what keeps me in check as a man. Like, that's the only thing. And that's where I try to give my kids the best tool I can give them.
Yeah, I agree. I think that that common denominator spans across many religions if you really distill them down to their heart and soul.
Compassion.
You mean? Yeah.
Compassion is the one thing that's the heart of it. And that's what I want them to learn.
Yeah, I think that I can do better. I can do better leading by example. My problem is, like, I will do things as part of a bigger unit, like, for instance, the sports teams. Like, I will do a lot of community relations-oriented events and do a lot of pro bono work, but my children don't get to see that, right? They don't see that regularly. I was just thinking about these even with my kids today, and I'm like, I could take a walk around the block with them once a day and pick up trash. Yeah. Just to show them that I care.
Do something.
Just to do something, right? Yeah. We have a parent that's friends with us that has children, and she's all about service. There is one weekend a month where they're at a food pantry. There's one weekend a month where they're creating succulents for a charity to do that. And I really believe those kids are wonderful kids, and they're going to end up in a really great place.
No doubt.
Even if it's not financial or societally, upper echelon, six-bedroom house kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen Last Chance University?
I've dabbled.
These junior college coaches, my goodness, what saints. Because they don't have the resources, big guys, and they're just saving kids. And for like $15,000 a year, they're just like working 70-hour weeks on these kids, like in rough air. Anyway, just a little plug for that. Really, really cool.
Yeah,
along the lines of compassion and real community service.
Right. It's wildly interesting because I think at this age in our lives too, we know examples of so many of the things we talk about and we're like, oh, that's those guys or that's those guys.
Yeah.
But I try to look in the mirror on these versus compare other people and see what I'm doing personally with my family. And if I'm adhering to this smart stuff, I mean, the good news here is obviously we have a new day tomorrow, a new month, a new year. But it's psychologically proven that kindness can make kids happy in the here and now. Psychologists call it the helper's high, and economists refer to it as the warm glow of giving. Neuroscientists find that generosity activates reward centers in our brains, and evolutionary biologists observed that we're wired to help others. As a tribe of people, we're always ready to aid one another, Darwin wrote, and would be victorious over most other tribes, and this would be natural selection. So very rooted and stoic information, but I think that the world needs to start turning the cruise ship.
Sure. I mean, that's how we're built. You know, we're built, like, to take care of each other. I mean, that's how we were designed, is to give each other, and something in us actually makes us happier when we are serving. And that's the design. Like you said, how many miserable millionaires do you know? And how many happy, I mean, the happiest people I ever saw were the people that we used to go build houses with my church down in Mexico. And we were so humbled by their peace and joy. Like these people live in the squalor.
But very simple.
Very simple. But just found joy and, living life together and taking care of each other. And that was a great lesson for me as a teenager.
Yeah. I'm not doing this perfectly, but I'm trying to fix this and trying to make myself better. Even every podcast, I'm trying to extract the best out of this and enact it in the home. And I've seen this for years, but to see it down in front of me helps me take it on to the next level. Because, I think it's great. And, it even adheres to their friendships, versus the 100%. Popular kid that has the nice jeans and the nice car. Because eventually the real world's going to catch up with that kid somewhere, where the parent that brags about the accomplishments of the kid, and they're going to realize that's kind of a facade. So, this is good grassroots information. I really, respect both of these authors because they're way smarter than I am. Well, and they're well more researched than I am. But
they just kind of like quantified what the spirit knows, We know it. We've all felt that glow. But, we've all felt that.
Yeah. And we could talk about it more at length, but I'll put up the links in the interest of time and our listeners. All right. Coming up next, we're going to get into a little bracketology, but a unique version of bracketology, the social distance brackets. Coming up next.
Time out for 3, 2, 1, go!
All right, welcome to the segment called 3-2-1 Go. The reason we call it 3-2-1 Go is because it moves pretty fast.
Right.
It didn't used to. In the very beginning, 3-2-1 Go would be like 30, 20, plus 10. But no, alas. And if you hear the creaking, that is real wood on real butt seating in the chairs. We're authentic out here. So we are getting ready to get into March Madness. Obviously, do you do brackets?
Nope.
No? Do you do them?
I used to, but no, I don't think so.
Well, my wife works in sports, and she runs the pool for her large radio station. So, yeah, we do them. The kids will basically vote on the mascots. So I'll be like, okay, Tiger versus Bulldog, who's going to win? Okay, Orange versus Rooster, whatever it is.
Nice.
Yeah, and my oldest won her first year. Because of the Kentucky Wildcat.
Yeah.
She had no idea who Kentucky was,
probably,
and she won.
Probably taking them down, or like versus the Banana Slugs.
Yeah, I think the favorites this year are pretty much Illinois, Gonzaga, The rest are escaping me. Alabama's looking good. And so that's coming up. But I pulled this from Slate because I thought it was a little funnier. This was put out last year when there was no March Madness, and they replaced it with social distancing. I'm only going to do one region because we don't have time to do it all. And basically, you're just going to tell me what you would vote for, and then we're going to match your vote up against the majority vote and see if you move on. Okay. The Today Show had one about St. Patrick's Day, but I really didn't care for that one. So here we go. We're going to start in the brackets. It's unlimited screen time versus attempting to teach a seventh grader math. Which would you prefer?
Unlimited screen time.
All right, screen time, easy winner right there. Family cooking lessons or family dance party? What would go on in your house?
Cooking lessons. Oh, wow.
Probably the cooking
dance
lessons.
Party. Dance
oh,
party.
Yeah, really?
Yeah,
okay, the winner was cooking, however. Mm-hmm. This is a weighted one. Disney Plus versus discovering your favorite childhood movies are actually not appropriate.
Wow. I'd have to just Disney. Stay on brand, but yeah, the other one's kind of like
gotta go
tough
Disney
too.
Plus.
I like the other one, the inappropriate one.
Definitely experienced
one.
The other
Never
one.
Forget the first time I sat down to watch Christmas Story thinking it was the most innocent thing ever.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, dude, where was that?
You forgot all those
Every
words.
Scene from like Goonies, Indiana Jones. Oh my gosh.
No, it's going to cover your
Indiana
eyes.
Indiana Jones was brutal.
All right, so FaceTime with parents versus arguing with uncles on Facebook about politics.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to go FaceTime with parents.
Yeah,
I'm going to stay clear of that zone. All right, board games versus adopting a pet.
Mm.
A lot of people caved during the puppy pandemic.
Because of the pandemic.
We know a lot of people that caved.
Dude, so many dog people.
But it's good. Good for the doggies. Good New for dogs. The cats that got adopted.
That's right.
Board games took that one, though.
Oh, wow.
6 foot distance play dates versus quasi educational apps.
Oh, Lord.
I know. I've seen my share.
I'm going to say just the distance.
Okay.
I don't know. That's so weird. We have that, like the play dates, and it's like, okay, stay apart from each other.
No, but they don't do it, like, but still, I'm
they
just.
They try to,
I'm
and all that.
This is an either or, gentlemen.
It's weird.
Is it anyway. Playing to the numbers?
Who won?
Educational apps.
Oh, jeez.
Of course.
Yes. Online learning versus emailing tech support about online learning.
Online learning.
I had a rough time in the beginning, and then once I got the hang of it, I was fine. Online learning was the winner. Yelling versus apologizing. What is more prominent in your house?
Yelling.
Oh, yelling.
Yelling, yes. Like yelling, the clear winner. Okay, we're moving on. Screen time versus cooking.
Screen time is going to win, okay. Of course.
Screen time took it. Childhood movies versus FaceTime.
We said
childhood movies.
Childhood movies
That's
took it.
Be a winner, yeah.
Board game versus educational apps.
Ooh, I'm going to say board games.
Yeah, we do a lot of board games in here. Yes, board games took it.
Sorry.
Online learning versus yelling.
Yelling.
I think they go hand in hand, actually. Yeah. But.
Yeah, you can't play board games without yelling, right?
Yes, yelling took it. All right, screen time versus childhood movies.
Oh, goodness. Screen time is going to always win these days.
Screen time took it. Board games versus yelling.
Yelling.
I want to say yelling, but it's just from a dad perspective, right?
Okay. Board games. More people did board games and yell.
Of course. Good.
Yeah.
You'd want
so good
to yell.
And then screen time versus board games.
Screen time. That's sad. The wacky doctor's
What
game.
Did you guys say?
Screen time.
Screen time.
Okay.
Battleship.
Unfortunately.
I'm going to go ahead and unveil the final bracket. And it was screen time ended up taking that. And then that went off against Twitter, yelling at POTUS, and PJs All Day. We're all in the final four. And then PJs All Day took on Twitter. And then PJs All Day was the champion favorite thing of people this time last year, according to Slate Master.
PJs All Day.
People love that?
I hate that. I go bottom.
I feel so
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah. You
I'm
go
on
bottom?
Zoom all day, so just the bottom. So, like, I'll turn the camera off and run to the restroom if I have to. But all from right. the waist up, it's professional, you know?
Okay. I've peaked and valleyed. Like, it's so funny because I have sweatpants rolled up next to my bed. Just two pair. I'm weird like that.
No, I do too.
And I back in the normal world, I maybe wore sweatpants once a month, you know, if I came in from somewhere and I wanted to get cozy. Now it's like the ritual, the routine.
Yeah.
But I gotta look good clean. Morning, like I gotta. Yeah. I'm from Philly, so I shower. I put on cologne. I put on nice smelling soap.
Got my chain on.
Yeah. At 10 in the morning, I got cologne on in the living room. I'm like, yo. Yeah,
hey, my rings, time. My pinky ring. Hey,
Ben, when you were in Europe, we had this whole tangent about how I was from Philly every time.
I giggled a lot,
but yeah, so yeah, but I've gone, my dress shirts haven't been touched in a year. No. I don't think I've worn a collared shirt with buttons in a year.
No, I brought a couple when we were over there, I'm like, huh, what am I gonna do with this?
Yeah. I've been, I think part of my waking up routine is like at least putting on a collared shirt and combing my hair and brushing my teeth. I'm going to jump on a Zoom call with the lights on and like nothing to do for like an hour, but stare at everybody's face while we're talking. And then like, if you have it in the default mode, it's like, if you're talking, your mug is like, you know, HD on their screen and 4K resolution. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so if you have like a blemish or you got like spinach in your teeth.
You can't have an I'm with stupid shirt on.
You can't have, I mean, you know, at the very least, you got to look presentable to look like, hey, I'm here, I'm working, whatnot, you know? And so,
I don't think there's too many people that cannot get depressed by just like being in their pajamas all day for day.
Of course. I think
you got to have some
As soon as I get off work, it's like bam, like literally as the last call, I'm in my room, jump into the sweats and I'm in chill mode.
But I'm saying just wear pajamas for 2 months. Like you're going to get depressed.
You got to wake up. You got to switch up.
Your brain works that way. Same reason that like, you know, you got to leave the house to work. You go to work, you go home. You can't be all smushed together.
Yeah.
You're talking to a freelancer here. Yep. I smushed a lot together for years.
Oh, dude, I've been freelance my whole life. But, yeah, like, I run a co-working space, and the whole psyche behind that is to, you, like...
Which was on HBO. Can I just throw that out there? When I watched Drew's segment, I saw the Phoenix was on HBO.
Yeah, really?
Very exciting.
Oh, wow, what?
Little plug for the Phoenix. Nice. Yeah,
Phoenix. Wow, PhoenixAlameda.com, what? And so, yeah, anyway, I think it's very important to go outside, get dressed. But anyway.
Okay. Well, I agree. I think so. Here's my theory. In the beginning of the pandemic, when everything was wildly new and you're trying to look for the bright sides of things, there was a lot of drinking. There was a lot of wearing pajamas a lot of the day. There was like, oh, it's 2 o'clock. Let's go for a walk. Let's not do this. Let's, you know. But as the time wore on and the pandemic got longer and longer and longer, it did start to affect people because you saw a fitness boom and surge right around mid-pandemic. Like, all right, now I've been that for 4 months, 5 months. Now I'm turning the corner. Right. I mean, I'm victim to that. But, yeah, so anyway, PJs all day. But it was this time last year when that thing went down. Okay. So, that was the bracket. Thank you, Slate. That was a good year after look back.
Wait. What was the winner? Screen time, right?
PJs all day.
Oh, PJs all day, dude.
Okay. Was the national favorite.
Okay, great,
yeah.
Great. Okay.
All right. Coming up next is our parent quiz. And seeing how much you guys were into March Madness, this is going to be a complete bomb. But stay tuned.
It's quiz time. Parent quiz. Quiz, 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 quiz.
All right. It's time for the parent quiz. You guys ready?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let me tell you a little background here. The reason I chose this quiz, I'll get you. You're eating brownies right now for our listeners at home.
I just want to say
there's
thank
nothing
you.
In them. They are created by my daughter.
They're so good.
Well, that's very nice because she listens to the pod.
Bravo. So yummy.
If you can tell me one mascot that I was.
Oh, you were the Tennessee guy. Is that a volunteer?
Volunteer, man.
Smokey.
Yep.
The mascot for the University of Tennessee. There's a volunteer and there's Smokey.
Which one's Smokey? What is that? A husky dog?
He's a blue tick hound.
Blue tick hound.
That was college. Sorry. Right?
Yeah.
So I started working Sesame Street Place where I wore a costume a couple times.
Sesame Street, really?
Yeah. Langhorne, Pennsylvania. Sesame Street Place. I was never on the actual show. There's a difference. But it was a tremendous teenage job. Let me just say that. Tennessee. And then I was my first job, I was a catfish. For the Carolina Mudcats. I was Muddy the Mudcat.
Wow.
And it was the year that Michael Jordan played baseball.
Oh, no.
So there's a whole lot to unpack there.
Wow.
So then I moved on. I wanted to be a pro mascot. I did not get the Baltimore Orioles. I did not get the
Houston Astros.
This is crazy.
And Philadelphia Phillies. I auditioned for all three.
Wow.
Got closer each time, but didn't get the big one.
Amazing.
I got a backup or something. Then I moved out west and became the mascot for the San Francisco 49ers. And I became the first, well, not the first, but a mascot in the WNBA as well.
And that's what got you out to California?
That is a lot of wind around, yes. And that's a long story for another time. About the parent quiz kind of brought home to me. It's about mascots and college mascots. Here we go. We're going to go through these fast. I'll make it easy. I'm going to give you multiple choice. The orange is the mascot for what university? The orange.
Syracuse.
Tennessee. Is it Syracuse? Is it Texas? Is it Miami? Is it Kentucky?
Syracuse.
Syracuse, right?
It is Syracuse.
Yes.
Bing, bing. Fun fact, Tennessee played Syracuse, and the orange let me bowl him down the middle of the basketball court into cheerleader megaphones, which otherwise looked like bowling pins.
Wow.
Yes, working fun together. Fact.
Very nice.
All right, which mascot is the Sooner Schooner from?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Kansas, or Las Vegas, Nevada?
Oklahoma.
Ben says Oklahoma. I'm going with him.
Yes, they run the Sooner Schooner out on the field before the game.
What is a Sooner?
It's amazing.
What is it? What's a Sooner?
I'm going to save that topic for another day.
Okay.
Swoop is the mascot for which university? I'll give you a hint. Pac-12.
Really?
Is it Boston College, Hawaii, NYU, or Utah?
Not Utah.
Pac-12.
That's same wrong. Again, it is again? Utah. We're going to move on to the next question. University of Utah.
I said Utah, right?
Swoop, also the mascot for the Philadelphia Eagles. What is the name of Michigan State's university mascot? Is it Titan? Is it Vinny? Is it Sparty? Is it Mongo? All great names.
Wait, Sparty. Wait, there's a badger. Oh, there's a,
Sparty.
College football fans, please ignore this conversation.
Sparty.
It is Sparty.
Yeah, man.
Sounded like a bet.
Which school buries their mascots inside the stadium?
Oh my gosh.
I was not buried inside Tennessee Stadium, so we'll take that out.
Some kind of a bulldog or something like that.
Georgia. University of Georgia, North Carolina State University, Brigham Young University, or Notre Dame University.
Sounds Georgia.
Sounds like a southern thing.
Yes. Georgia. Ugga, the bulldog for the University of Georgia.
Hey, now, see?
Sounded like kind of this voodoo.
Ugga has a little doghouse on the sidelines on game days. One of my favorite mascots, by the way.
Really?
And this little guy, a little air conditioning in it. It's, and he just peeks his little head out. Yeah, I was on the sidelines in the SEC for 3 years. It was a very fun adventure.
Wow.
All right, here's one close to home. The University of California, Santa Cruz has one of the most unique mascots.
Banana
what
slug.
What is it?
Banana slug.
Apple tree, Jam and Jay, popsicle, or banana slug. All fantastic ideas, but only one is the winner.
It's my wife's alma mater.
Yeah. Oh, therefore, it is the banana slug. Good job. All right, final one. Oh, question seven. The University of West Georgia's mascot was the Braves until the NCAA Native American mascot controversy forced them to vote on another. What did their mascot change to in 2006? Wolverines, Wolves, War Eagles, or Wildcats?
War Eagles.
War Eagles is incorrect. That is Auburn.
That was a Native American theme. Like, they tried
Wildcats, Wolverines, or Wolves? Ben, you should get this. Hint, hint.
Wolverine.
I had an album called that.
Wolf Hunt, right.
Ooh, yes, it is Wolves. You can plug your album if you'd like to.
I don't closely associate with wolves, but okay.
All right. Which school does not have a wildcat as their mascot? And then we're getting down to the home stretch.
Not have a wildcat.
Kentucky, Georgetown, Villanova, or Arizona? Which does not?
Georgetown is the Bulldogs.
That is correct.
Nice.
It is a Hoya.
It's a Hoya?
Well, it's a Georgetown Hoyas, but it's a Bulldog.
I saw that logo.
Yes. Yeah. The University of North Carolina may be the Tar Heels, but what is their mascot? Is it a whale, a buffalo, a ram, or a donkey? A whale, a buffalo, a ram, or a donkey?
I'm thinking the donkey because of the
ram. I think it's a ram.
Because of the, maybe the ram. I think it's a ram.
But they actually have the mascot is a piece of tar. It's a ball of tar.
It is a ram.
It's a ram.
It is a ram. Which is the most used mascot nickname for four-year college mascots?
Tigers.
Eagles, Bulldogs, Tigers, or Lions?
Tigers.
Tigers seems like the most. I've seen so many, right?
Cliche, yeah.
Let's say Tigers.
I'm going to say Tigers. Yeah. Tigers is correct.
Yep.
We and really I will good. Correct yeah. that on the online version
Mark
of our
wasn't
show.
Throwing me off. Like making me second guess myself.
Where of, is Mark?
Where is this guy?
I think he's in Bermuda.
Should we start? Should we throw in music here? We do want to say hi to our compadre Mark. Our fourth is not with us tonight. He is on
sipping my Mai Tais.
Has the night off.
Has the night off. Has the night off in Hawaii. So I gotta put in music there.
So jealous.
All right, that was our parent quiz. Coming up next, things. Hey, great scores, by the way. Ben had six. Chris had six. So you tied at six.
Kissing my sister.
All right, coming on next. What? Things that make us smile.
You don't know that?
That was silly.
All right, guys, this is the time of show that we just talk about things that make us smile, a little bit of gratitude. I'm smiling about a bunch of things tonight, but we do want to thank our listeners first and foremost. Thank you for making us smile. Thank you for interacting with us on social media. We are at Dad Timeout on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We have a lot of fun on Instagram, so if you're over there, be sure to check us out. We'll follow you back. We're cool like that, and if you're new, we will mention you on the show too because I love to hang out with cool people. But things that made me smile, one thing that really made me smile this week, there's a new show on called Waffles.
What's a Waffles?
See, I got stuck in the wolf mode. Waffles and Mochi.
It's our mascot.
Waffles and Mochi. It's on Netflix. And it's basically Sesame Street meets a healthy show on the Food Network. Have you guys seen it?
No.
Michelle Obama produces it, and she's on it as well. But it's a really colorful, fun. It totally reminds you of Sesame Street. My six and I watched it last week. We watched the episode on tomatoes, and it's got like adult things that can slide over their heads, but it's really fun to watch. So if you have youngins, I highly recommend Waffles and Mochi. That's a lot of fun. And then before the show, we talked a little bit about it, but I just do think it's adorable, the traditions that families do have in all sorts of ways and forms and holidays, whether it's food or decorations or whatever. But we built our leprechaun trap this year.
Yeah. What is that again? And like, I can't imagine.
It's basically
like a bear trap?
Box. And then you put it, like, think of an old school trap, and you put
you catch leprechauns.
Yeah, like that time you were on Naked and Afraid. Remember when you guys built the trap?
And it had the sticks.
Yeah, like that. Okay, interesting.
And then when the leprechaun goes for the treat.
Oh, for the treat. They get trapped inside.
They can, nice. Can take on a lot of manifestations, yeah.
Yeah, so that made me smile. and that's it. And you guys being here on a rainy night, you noticed the rain subsided just as we started?
Yeah, well, I can still hear a little pitter-patter, right?
A little bit.
It's relaxing.
Yeah, we had no dogs barking tonight. Yeah. And the rain's been nice, so. What about you, Ben?
I hadn't thought about it before.
Because we don't do it every time.
I know. I was thinking, like, I just thought, I one of my habits is if I think of someone, if I think of them a lot, I make sure to call them. So I called just this friend I hadn't called in years, like 5-6 years. I'm like,
nice.
Man, I'm going to call Kayla. And dude, we just like, guy I grew up with, and it was so good. But I think he was on my heart for a reason. So I just I kept thinking about him. So we just called up, and so that made me smile. And I think, you know, it's a good little lesson. If someone's on your heart, just call them up. Just do it.
That's fantastic. You know, one of the keys to longevity are long-term friendships and having a lot of different types of friends, right? Sure. So I think that's wonderful that you actually took action on it versus just like, oh, I saw it on Facebook fly by or I saw it on...
Or you get busy or whatever. You got to just do it right when you think of it.
Yeah.
I got to spend a little time with my oldest daughter, which is rarer and rarer these days. So she had a golf tournament in Monterey. So we had to spend the night in a motel so that we could make the tea time in the morning and whatnot. So we got to spend a big block of time together, and even though she pretty much had homework 90% of the time, was like doing some sort of screen time and stuff, those like little spurts of conversation and like companionship,
extended time.
Yeah, I mean, I was really present to, you know, like realizing that this is a finite thing, right? I have a handful of these left, and so like don't let it go by without sort of savoring those. So definitely you know, having these conversations has got me to like really try to be a little bit more appreciative and not focus just on, like, you know, the performance aspect of it or the success aspect or the outcome, and really about, like, you know, cherishing those moments. So that's really got me to smile and take a moment out of all of the great chaos and stuff. And then awesome. The other one is just coming here and doing this. And, like, I want to thank your wife and daughter for the hospitality. Those are some crazy good brownies. And the hot toddies.
It was so warm.
But that's definitely put a smile on my face. So cheers to you fine folks.
I took one trip with my dad, and I remember every detail. You know what I mean? Like, just one awesome trip down the up the coast. We didn't have money back then. We slept in the back of a Suburban.
Yeah.
So
making
take
memories.
A trip with your kids, so it's not like these 5 minutes that you get. You know, we have all these snippets through the day, but like when it's just you one on one, like my wife and I keep vowing to take each kid for a night away each. So like, you know, each kid gets a night with each of us.
Well, once individual
per year.
Time, yeah.
Just once per year, like one night. And we finally, like, the weekend comes. Hey, what do you want to do this weekend? You have to be very conscious. Like, hey, just take Josie. Go. And we did it last week.
Yeah.
My wife just, I said, go to Santa Cruz with Josie. And she was glowing. She was a different kid the next day.
Yeah. Peeling off that individual time is so important.
So, yeah, she was glowing.
We're kind of crazy. Like, we love traveling with our kids. So, like.
But the one-on-one is a different thing.
Yeah, the one-on-one's a different thing versus the Griswolds heading to the Grand Canyon.
Sure.
Which is happening.
Which is what you do.
Which is coming down my pipeline soon.
Can't wait to see what happens.
But you're right. You know, you can't rewind the clock. And once it's gone, it's gone. So you got to take those advantages of those unique times that just come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, wow, we have an afternoon? I won't extend this much further, but I just remember last year, it was one of those searing hot summer days. Maybe 2 years ago. I'm all morphed anymore. But I remember my little boy and I, we put on ELO, and we went searching for Slurpees. And that was our only goal. But the Slurpees were broken in one 7-Eleven and then out in the next 7-Eleven. I just remember us driving around laughing, like making jokes that...
Is there any Slurpees left?
Yeah. And that was probably the best Slurpee we'll ever have in our lives. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, and in all sincerity, we miss you, Mark. We hope you're having a good time on your island. We'll just say aloha, and we'll catch you back around. Thanks to all our listeners, and thanks to everybody that likes, reviews, and comments on our stuff. It means so much in the algorithms because we're still infantile. We've got a solid base of great people, but it makes people easier to can find us easier if we have reviews and stuff. So, all right, Dad Time Out Show, and we're out of here.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Time Out Show. We're out of here. We've been listening to you talk for an hour. My turn!
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to our Time Out Show. And we're out of here.